وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونِ.
And I did not create the jinn and mankind except to worship me.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya wal Mursaleen, amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله.
My Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to our beautiful silsila, The Hidden World. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, in this silsila, as you know, we're talking about the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, as we know them as jinns. And remember what we talked about in the previous programs, that jinnat is a creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, which were created out of fire. And jinnat are mentioned in the Quran. There is a whole surah in the Quran, and also the last two words of the glorious Quran, min al jinnati wan nas. So for a Muslim to believe in the existence of jinns is farz. Who are the jinns? Where do they come from? And the jinns, how much ibadat do they do? And are there Muslim jinns? Are there non-Muslim jinns? Inshallah, Azza wa Jal, in today's silsila, this is what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about some of the Muslim jinnat and their ibadat. And Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, also, we're going to learn about a very beautiful question. And the question is, can you marry a jinn? Yeah, we're going to have that, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. So stay tuned for the answer, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. We're going to have the answer very soon for you. And there's a very beautiful verse in the Quran, kunna taraika qidada, that we have split their ways. And in the tafsir, Hazrat Mujahid, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he says that jinnats are of two types. Number one, Muslim, and number two, non-Muslims. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we have Shahbaz Bhai, MashaAllah Azza wa Jal, in the studio. Shahbaz Bhai, we're talking about the Muslim jinns and their ibadat today.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ji Hafiz Sahib, before we go on to Muslim ibadat, we must understand that not just Muslim ibadat, the Muslim jinn's ibadat.
Subhanallah.
We must understand that just the way as Muslim humans are mukallaf, meaning we
accountable.
We are accountable for our actions, for our deeds. We shall be rewarded, inshallah, for our good deeds. We shall be punished. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from punishment for our bad deeds and our sins. So just the way as humans are mukallaf, similarly the jinns are also mukallaf. It is necessary for humans to pray the 5 daily salah. Similarly, it is necessary for jinns to pray the 5 daily salah. Just like it is necessary for humans to give the zakat, similarly it is necessary for jinns to give the zakat, etc.
You mentioned about salah, yeah? Where it's wajib upon the male that they go and read the jamaat. So where would the jinn go to read their jamaat? Because we haven't seen any in the masjid.
Allahu
Akbar. Because we can't see them.
Because we can't see them, exactly. But it said so much so that, you know, whenever, for example, if Jamaat is to go on, then the jinns will be there. So much so that the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam states that when you're reading a Tahajjud Salah, when you're reading a Tahajjud Salah, then recite Qira'at in a loud voice. Why? Because angels and jinns shall be listening to you. So jinns are always part of our gatherings. You know, it's said that even when a teacher is teaching, the jinns come and to listen to that teacher. And it's possible, there's, you know, subhanAllah, there's some jinns,
there's a few jinns
amongst us
here as well.
Right now, yeah. You see, because again, it comes back to the number, doesn't it? For example, you know, if there's to be 9 jinns, 1 human. So the number is so much more, than no doubt the earth will be full of jinns itself. So yes, jinns are mukallaf, they must also pray salah, they must also give zakat, etc., etc. And we also mentioned previously that there are no prophets or messengers from amongst the jinns. There's no prophets or messengers from amongst the jinns. The prophet of mankind, the peace of our hearts and minds, Rasulullah Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, this was his speciality.
MashaAllah.
In that other prophets, some were sent for one tribe, some for one city, some for one country possibly, some for one nation. But the Prophet of mankind, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, our beloved Prophet Mustafa, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, their speciality is they were sent for all of mankind.
So he was like a universal prophet, bringing a universal message.
Not only all of mankind, but also all of jinnkind. For the entire creation. Why even the trees and the stones would bear witness to the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. So jinns also must perform good actions, and they are prohibited from performing bad actions. Now somebody may pose a question that, you know, we've heard of jinns also being from the ummah of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, also from the ummah of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So much so we've heard that, you know, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam had possessed control over jinns. Now when it comes to jinns, there's not a prophet or messenger sent for them specifically, but there are some jinns who hear the message from these prophets or messengers, and then they're sent to warn others. So there are some amongst the jinns who are sent to warn others, but they're not considered prophets or messengers, like we said in Nadara.
I think in the last program we discussed about...
We discussed this, but there's one point I would like to come to. The point is, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, if he... You know, he was a great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he was sent and he was given control over the jinns, firstly what we must understand is he did not possess control over all jinns. Yes, he was given control over jinns, but not all jinns. This is what we must understand. Not all of the jinn kind itself, but many jinns were under his power and part of his army. And we also mentioned as that just the way, you know, as humans have a lifespan, the jinns also have a lifespan. But when it comes to Iblis, you know, the jinn who had rejected, who had refused to prostrate before the Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, who we call, when we generally refer to the shaitan, this is who we refer to, Iblis himself, that when it comes to him, he grows old, but as soon as he's considered to be old, he's rejuvenated again. He turns young again.
Right.
Do you know, as we said that, do you know, but the jinns before they die, what happens is they turn young, don't they? And then that's how they die.
That was one of the duas they made.
Of Samum. It was one of the wishes of Tamanna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Samum. And he said, you know, Atamani, that I wish for this such and such, such and such. And the third thing he wished for was that when the jinns, before they die, for them to be rejuvenated, for them to turn young again, and then they shall die. So these are just a few points to touch upon, you know, for the information of the audience, and then we'll come back to our topic, the Muslim jinn. So as mashallah, you know, they're mukallaf, they also get good jinns and we get bad jinns, as we've said numerously. Now there are some good individuals from amongst the jinns who are outstanding. Like subhanAllah, even from amongst the humans, we have what we call the laymen, the average people. And then we have mashallah teachers from amongst them. And then we have saints from amongst them. We have companions from amongst them. So there were some jinns that were companions. There are some jinns that are saints. There are some jinns that are saints that have, you know, and they even read the same books. For example, you know, Sahih al-Bukhari, you know, Sahih al-Muslim, Sahih Sitta, and these books, they also study these books. And many scholars say that they actually study them under humans. They are jinn teachers, but why this is, Allahu Alam, you know, that they actually study under humans. And for example, our famous scholars, you know, for even Imam Bukhari radhiallahu anhu himself, and other famous scholars of ours, when they would be doing tadris, jinns would come join them. And sometimes what would happen is, jinns would sometimes take the form of humans. And this is, you know, quite famous, that jinns, they would come to take forms of humans and they would come and study sometimes. Why? Because this way there's an interaction between the teacher and the student. One thing is just for the jinn to sit there and just to listen to the teacher and the teacher to teach, but then, you know, every student has questions, doesn't he? But then the jinn wouldn't have these questions, he wouldn't be able to ask these questions. Whereas if he was to come in human form, then he would also be able to converse with the teacher.
So when you, when you're in your class, there might be a jinn amongst you as well.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah.
That guy, one knows who he is, where's he from? We haven't seen him many times.
And this would really be, we've also read about this in our books, where, you know, where a teacher would sometimes ask a student, you know, where are you from? And then, you know, there wouldn't be no specific location. Now if there was to be a location, then it was to be unknown if they were to give one. So then they discovered that this person, in fact, Ala Hazrat, you know, Sayyidi Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Mujaddid of the 14th century, a great scholar of, you know, a great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everybody should know his name, Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan. radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now, about Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it has been stated that, you know, at the age of 8, he wrote the Shara of, you know, Hidayat al-Nahv. You know, at the age of 14, he became a mufti. He became a mufti. He graduated. He, you know, so much so that his own father said, "You do not learn from me, but rather you teach me."
Subhanallah.
So about him, it was mentioned that one of his teachers, he said to him after, you know, he showed him his work once, and he said to him that Ahmad Rida, you know, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that tell me, are you not a jinn? So he asked him, are you not a jinn? Why? Because these sort of things, you know, sometimes extraordinary.
Yeah.
You know, because jinns do possess, you know, a better ability in many ways. As we mentioned before, that when it comes to strength, there are many jinns who are, you know, extremely strong.
His teacher said to him that, you know, I prepare and I take a lot of time, and
you learn it so quickly, you know. Are you not a jinn? So this shows, and we've seen this in fact not only from here but in many other instances also. And this shows that yes, you know, just the way as humans we live our lives, similarly, parallel to our realm, you can say, or to our world, is a hidden world, is the world of the jinn also.
MashaAllah. And masjids are for the ibadat of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the jinn, he used to come and offer his salah in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And jinns, you know, they used to come in many forms. They do umrah as well, they do hajj as well. Now, some of the stories you can continue from where you left, MashaAllah.
SubhanAllah. Now, there are many stories about jinns. It said, you know, I think we've been through some stories.
Gee.
And, you know, it's also mentioned that once the companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, now they're like, it's Muslim jinns and non-Muslim jinns we're talking about. But another thing we can come to understand is, many a time we also mentioned, didn't we, that non-Muslim jinns are able to attack Muslims and they do cause problems for Muslims. And in this instance, Muslim jinns actually defend Muslim humans also, and they actually defend even generally humans also. So there are in fact many instances from the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once in the time of Hazrat Umar Farooq, once incident comes to mind, that a man during the time of Hazrat Umar Farooq radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he went to pray his Isha Salah, and on his way, when he was going to the masjid, on the way to the masjid, he was going to pray his Isha Salah. It said that he was kidnapped. And Allah, as we said before, in Zimri's issue, you know, the Prophet ﷺ states how it's possible to for the jinn to take man. Yes, they live amongst us, but we also said that they have that hidden world also, don't they? And how it's possible for them to take humans to the hidden world. You know, we heard the story about the old man, previously. So what happened was, this person was, you know, just instantaneously, he was removed from a world. When we say world, we don't really mean another planet or anything, but you can say just like a hidden realm, you can say. And he was taken, and it said that, you know, his wife, she approached Hazrat Umar Farooq radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and she said to Hazrat Umar Farooq radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu that, "Oh Umar, I've not seen my husband. You know, it's been some time now. My husband, he went to read his Isha Salah, he was going towards the masjid, and, you know, he never returned. I don't know what happened to my husband. What should I do?" Umar Farooq radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he asked her to remain patient. He said, "Wait and remain patient." And what had happened was, he was kidnapped by the jinns. Kidnapped is the word we have by the jinns. And then suddenly he returns. He returns to the Muslims, he returns to his household, you know, and he's thinking, you know, where's my family and, you know, where's everybody? And then he approaches Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The incident itself comes to the knowledge of Hazrat Umar Farooq radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And Hazrat Umar Farooq radhiyallahu anhu says that, you don't just go missing like that. And he says, "But look, I have an excuse." He says, "So what's the excuse?" He says, "Once I was making my way to the masjid, I was going to perform my Isha Salah, and the jinns had kidnapped me." And so Hazrat Umar radhiyallahu anhu, he asked him more about it. And so, subhanAllah, this we could also come to the food of the jinns also, inshallah, we'll touch upon after this. So Hazrat Umar radhiyallahu anhu, he asks him about it, and he describes Hazrat Umar, like, you know, there's this, there's just old jinns there. And, you know, sometimes they are given the ability to see jinns. How this is, subhanAllah, he was possibly a companion himself, or at least from the tabi'un. Why? Because he was, you know, speaking with Hazrat Umar Farooq radhiyallahu anhu. So he would, you know, describe to Hazrat Umar Farooq radhiyallahu anhu, the world of the jinns. And no doubt Hazrat Umar Farooq radhiyallahu anhu himself knew so much about jinns, as we have already discovered. Now, Hazrat Umar Farooq radhiyallahu anhu, he also asked him as to what he eats, etc. And he said, you know, I eat that which the jinns ate, and you know, this is such and such what the jinns ate. And then Hazrat Umar Farooq radhiyallahu anhu said that, okay, so if they had kidnapped you for so long, why are you here now? How is it that you know you're here now? And then he explains that what happened was there was a group or another group of jinns or an army of jinns that had come and had attacked us or attacked the people I was kidnapped by. And when they had attacked us, they overpowered us and they were successful. And then they had approached me and they had asked me as to who I was, you know, what are my beliefs. And I told them that, alhamdulillah, I am a follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I am a Muslim. And they said that, we do not hold Muslims, meaning we do not keep Muslims captive. So he freed. So those jinns, they freed him. Now they also gave him the option. They said, look, if you wish, you can remain to live amongst us. But if you wish, you can return back to the humans. And subhanAllah, he chose to return back to the humans.
A good choice, I think.
SubhanAllah, good choice. But Hafiz, what we learned from this is, as we said, that you know there was a major battle.
Indeed.
But even subsequent to that, they do, you know, occur little battles, you know, in between also.
And that just a waqia comes to mind about Sayyidina Ghawse Pak radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when a Chinese jinn kidnaps a girl from Baghdad Sharif. And Ghawse Pak radiallahu ta'ala anhu says to the father, go to Karkh and you will find the king of jinns there, and talk to the king of jinns and he will help you. So he goes to Karkh and he makes a circle, he sits in there and he sees a lot of, you know, creatures coming towards him. And then finally he sees a jinn coming on horse. And then when the jinn comes close and he says, who are you? And he says that I've come from Baghdad Sharif. And he asks, sir, why are you here? And he goes, Ghawse Pak radiallahu ta'ala anhu sent me, and you know, my daughter's been kidnapped. And he goes, okay. So he says, who's kidnapped his daughter? So the jinns, they bring a Chinese jinn and they said it was him. So he killed him. And he says that, how dare you kidnap someone from Baghdad Sharif, where our Ghawser lives there. So alhamdulillah, that just links to the Salah of Amir al-Sunnah, the king of jinns. That is Salah is written there. Subhanallah, my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, Jazakallah for joining us. Every silsila, every program, inshallah, is going to have loads of suspense inside. So join us, inshallah, in our next silsila. Sallu ala al-Habib.
Sallallahu ala alihi wa sallam.
ما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون.
And I did not create the jinn and mankind except to worship me.